Take your Bibles and open them, please, to Matthew. I want to look tonight at Matthew 25 and verse. I'm not going to read the whole parable. I'm going to read the verse 31 through 33. And then I'm going to skip down and read verse 46 at the conclusion of it. It's, I think, somewhat familiar to you. All of that. We'll begin reading in verse 31, Matthew 25. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You that we have the great assurance that our salvation draws nigh. Our Savior Jesus Christ is indeed coming for His people. And Lord, that all those who look to Him and Him alone for salvation have the great assurance that He is coming, and at the judgment be found clothed, as Pastor Haley preached last night, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We may be fit, equipped, clothed in the robe of righteousness, not of our own, but that of our Savior Jesus Christ, equipped for eternity. Lord, we know that is not true for all. Lord, we pray that You would open our eyes and our hearts, our minds to Your truth tonight, that it would inspire us, it would motivate us as Your people to do what we have tried to do in these last 3 days and nights. Let us proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ, that it would be for Your own glory and honor, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen. Today at the noon hour, if you were here, we talked about Jesus Christ's resurrection. We talked about some of the attempts by those outside and those inside the church to deny His bodily resurrection from the grave, and all their various devices and schemes that they might use to try to deny that. But the truth of that bodily resurrection is going to be proven one day beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven in a body, as the angel told the disciples as they stood watching Jesus ascend into heaven. They said, this same Jesus is going to return in the way you saw Him go. This same Jesus, the one bearing the marks of the crucifixion, the one bearing the nail holes in His hands and His feet, the one bearing the marks of the terrible beating He endured at the hands of the Romans, the one bearing the wound of the Roman spear in His side. That Jesus is going to come back the same way you saw Him go. As Daniel prophesied, as the Lord Jesus Himself said, He is coming on the clouds of heaven, and every eye will behold it. There won't be a mystery, and there won't be any discussion, and there won't be any disagreement about his bodily resurrection. Every eye will see him. We see in our text today from Christ's own words that he's coming in glory. He's coming with all the holy angels. And he's coming to judge the world. He's coming in glory. He's coming in a way that he wasn't here when he came before. We looked at his virgin birth, and we looked at the fact that he was fully God, also fully man, and we looked at his atonement, what was necessary for our salvation. He's coming this time in glory, and he's coming with an announcement of wonderful, glorious news for his people. Great comfort, great peace, fulfillment of all his promises to his people. He's also coming with a fearful warning, a fearful expectation for those without Christ, for those who have denied him, for those who have ignored the offer salvation he has set before them. There's coming a time of great separation, which we'll look at in a minute. But Paul told the people from Athens, gathered there at the Areopagus, the day he made his famous sermon there in Acts 17. He said, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. We looked at that this morning. Paul said he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So God has set a day. We saw it in our Old Testament reading earlier. God has ordained that this is going to take place. The day is fixed. When he comes, he is coming in glory, but notice what he says. He's coming with all the angels with him. Can you imagine what a sight that is? What it will be? We saw this morning, talk about the resurrection, the effect upon hardened, battle-tested Roman soldiers sent to guard the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended to the tomb. And they were scared to death. They became like dead men. What will be the effect upon every sinful creature when they see all the angels of God descending? We don't know them. We know in Revelation there is a number which is probably metaphorical, 10,000 times 10,000, that would be 100 million. It's a lot. What will be the effect of seeing such a glorious thing on sinful creatures when they behold that? But even more awe-inspiring, even more frightening to some, be the King himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes and sits upon his throne. The King, Jesus Christ, before whom these mighty, fearful, awesome creatures, these angels, before whom they hide their eyes and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." What will that be like? Conceived and born and living in sin to behold such a thing. Paul wrote that he will be marveled at among those who believe. Those who have Christ as Savior will be in awe, in wonder, marveling as they see their Savior coming for them. And the rest will be as Revelation says. There will be stark terror. Revelation says that then every king and every general and every mighty man and every slave and every rich man, in other words, everybody, will cry out to the hills and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's what it's going to be like when Christ comes. And there's going to be these different reactions. We marvel and wonder and stark terror on the other side. There's only going to be two reactions. Non-attendance is not going to be an option. You will be there. Everyone will be there. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 20, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done." The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The very creation that came into being by his word, and he announces his coming with that great shout. When his voice reverberates through all of creation, creation itself will flee from his presence. The creation that came into being when he said, "There will be no sky, no sea, and no earth, but all of mankind, every person who's ever lived upon this earth will stand there." Christ's voice will reverberate through all the world. It will reverberate through all the vast expanse of the grave and through the darkness of hell. And every person will be there before him. We've seen just little hints of this in the scripture. Mount Sinai, when God gave the law, when he spoke, the mountain shook and trembled, and fire descended on the mountain. And the people begged Moses to ask God not to speak to them. They couldn't bear the voice of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He came. Power of his word will be on display. He will command, and all these things will happen. He will come with that shout, and everyone will come forth. All those from the grave will come forth, some with glorified bodies fit for heaven, others bodies of corruption, fit for destruction. And it will all happen to his word, just as it happened in the beginning, when he said, and it came to be. This will be a great separation. Jesus compares it to sheep and goats. The shepherd doesn't have any trouble telling sheep from goats. he separates them. Those are just metaphorical expressions for the righteous and the unrighteous, those in Christ and those without Christ. There will be a great separation. Jesus says to some, come, you who were loved by my Father. Come, take the inheritance prepared for you before the creation of the world. And others he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What a difference. And yet, like we see in this parable, the part I didn't read to you, some will be dumbfounded. When, Lord, when did we see you and when did we hear you and when did we not help you? And when did we not obey you? We don't remember any such thing as that. When they've heard the gospel over and over. When some have asked to share the gospel and they've said no. When Christ has actually sent people to them, when he's actually sent the word and they went, no. And then at that day there will be, well, when, Lord, when did that happen? I don't remember that. He will remind them. This separation couldn't be farther apart. They're an eternity apart. Some will go into eternal punishment. We've read it in the Old Testament. We've read it in Malachi. We read it in Revelation a minute ago. There are some whose names are recorded in the book. There are others whose works are recorded in the books. There are those who are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because they are His. As Pastor Hagley said last night, they've been purchased with His blood. He's made full atonement for them. They will stand at the judgment seat, and their lawyer, their advocate, will be the very judge himself. I have paid for their sins. There are others who rely on their deeds and their works and their understanding. And they will be consigned to a place that is too horrible to mention. We cannot even understand the depths of hell. They will be punished forever. John in Revelation 20 goes on to say that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. It burns forever with new kind of bodies that will not be consumed, but be fit only to suffer. The sheep, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, He will call them to Himself. He will be their God. And they will be His people. And they will dwell with Him forever. The fulfillment of the covenant promises of Scripture. I will be their God and they will be my be no more mourning, and no more pain, and no more crying, and they will be forever with the Lord. There couldn't be a greater distinction between the two. It's much greater than the distinction between sheep and goats. It's an eternal distinction. But in spite of this, spite of this, the world moves along denying Christ. The world moves along deceiving themselves. The thing we've tried to do over these last 3 days and nights is proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ. And one thing that everyone has said in different ways, and I said it this morning, I'm saying it again. Beware of constructing your own Jesus. Beware of constructing a Jesus that fits your desires and your parameters. And it's not too offensive to the world that they can kind of go along with you and kind of respect you because of the kind of Jesus that you have instructed to worship. You've made a Christianity that's of your own making. You've deceived yourself. There's nothing more heart-reaching. You know, I think one of the saddest things is when we go to the funeral of a person who shows no influence of Christ in their life. They've never even discussed it, going to discuss it. They probably never opened the scripture. They've never darkened the door of a church except to go to someone else's funeral or wedding. And yet, people gather at the funeral home or at the funeral, and they say, well, he's in a better place. And it's not me, and it's not that time to judge someone else's life. But by all indications, they're not in a better place. But why do people say that? Be kind. Don't you just say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that you're so sad now. I can't imagine, you know, how you feel. Why say something that's untrue? You don't know if it's true or not, but why? You know, there are some people, whose funeral you go to, you know they're God's people. You know they've been doing God's work. You know they've been faithful. We have the calm assurance at that time that others don't have. We can face those times because we know that Christ Jesus lives, that he's coming back for his people, and that all those will be with him. But I think one reason that people engage in that, and they say, well, you know, they've gone to a better place, so they'd be happy now. They do it to conceal their own fear. Do it to conceal their own worry. They do it so they can continue in their unbelief and their own wickedness. Because surely if he's gone to a better place, I'm better than him, so I think I'll be okay too. That's a poor approach. Because Jesus is coming. The words of Scripture are very clear. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They're not my words, those are words of God. He'll punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. What do so many people say? Oh, I believe in God. Believe in God. It doesn't say you believe in God. It says you do not know God. You have no personal relationship with him. That's an intimate term. There's a relationship between them and God. And they do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Lots of people in this country, if you believe the surveys, who believe in God. Throw Jesus into the mix, it gets ugly sometimes. the requirement of Scripture is here. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. That's the Word of God. But in spite of that, they won't listen. They ignore our pleas. They're even hostile. Simply rage against the truth. You know, the world is so blind. People are so deceived. Sin has such a grip on them that they're not thinking straight. Pastor Haley told you last night, the parable of the prodigal son. When he was in the pig pen, in the far country, the Scripture says, when he came to his senses, people without Jesus Christ are not in their right mind. I don't mean they're crazy. I don't mean they don't have common sense. I don't mean they can't function in the world. They need to come to their senses. Because it's sad. They don't want to hear. They doubt. They laugh. They ridicule. They get angry. They reject the very ideal of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is coming. These are His words. When the Son of Man comes. Not if, perhaps, or maybe. When He comes. And that day could be at any time. Millions are dying every day. Some quite unexpectedly. Some suddenly. But many, many are dying in sin without hope. This is their future. To be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of God. And as Jesus said in another place, they will be cast down. When the door is shut, it's shut. It's shut forever. There's one thing we need to know, understand. As Peter said, Second Peter, these people are scoffers, they're doubters. But Peter says the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous, Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because it's only in Him that we can stand in the judgment, which is certain to come. It's only in Him that we have any hope. Being declared not guilty, but being declared Your people and Your children, being ushered in to eternal bliss, to be in Your presence forever. Lord, we cannot even comprehend what that means. But Lord, by faith, we seize that and hold on to it. Because it is Your sure promise. Lord, it's just as sure that all those who die without Christ will face an eternity that's beyond description. Lord, help us as Your people. We know some of these people. We've had some of these conversations with them. We've faced their rejection, their hostility. Lord, help us. Continuing prayer for them, Lord, to know how, when to approach them. Lord, we know the when. You said today is the day of salvation. Lord, motivate us as Your people, as Your church, salt and light. Dark and unsavory world. And Lord, may it all be your own glory and honor. Lord, strengthen us through your Spirit that we may do this. I pray all these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.